Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to all of our moms out there. Hey, I want to give a shout out to the men who made that video that we just watched. And we get that you guys are not professionals because some of you, you videoed this direction, others went this direction. Some of you had it a bit more focused than others, and that wasn't the point, right? The point was that you took an opportunity, along with all of our five Harbor churches, just a few of you from each church, took an opportunity to surprise your wives, to get the children engaged, to say to their moms, Happy Mother's Day, and we love you, and we're so grateful for you. And so thanks for doing that, and thanks for making that effort. And we're grateful, too, on this day for all of our moms. And this is the day that we take and set aside as a nation, really, to give thanks for those who have invested in our lives. So Happy Mother's Day. I also want to recognize today that this is a different sort of day. And I know some of you moms, this has been a season for you because not only are you full-time moms at this point in the home, but your job came home and you're full-time home working. And on top of that, you've become teachers. You have to teach your kids too. And wow. And it's hard to manage all of that, but way to go for investing in the lives of those. It's building future leaders for this world and helping them to love Jesus. I also recognize that a Mother's Day in a pandemic, what is that going to look like? And we're living in a crazy time where these things called murder hornets, like, are you kidding me that we now have those in our country? And we just experienced a polar vortex here in May. And it's like, man, this is some crazy season that we're in. And in times like this, I'm always looking for people that are like that, that they're steady. They're unanxious. And there are a few pastors in this world that I turn to and I look to. And one of those, I listened to him this week. He was seated at a table. And he was doing this thing called lament. He said, I have something I need to share. And I'm not quite sure how to share it, but I need to speak. And he began to just speak that which was deep inside of him. And I leaned in as he talked about the pain so many people are experiencing, the pain that he feels, and sitting in that pain, not trying to find someone to blame, not grumbling about it, just seated in that place, saying these are the real, raw emotions that I'm feeling. And that's why we're in this room this morning. Because this is the room that I've spent more time in than any other room in our house since these past 7-8 weeks have put us in this place where we've been gathered together in our homes together. And as I sat in this room just this week even, I sat with my computer in front of me doing a Zoom call with our staff and laughed really hard with them. I love them and I enjoy my time every single time I get on a Zoom call with them. I look forward to seeing them, at least in that fashion. I've had gatherings in this room where we've talked strategically and where we've prayed together over the computer. I've had times in this room where I've just been silent by myself, to think about the questions that I have, to think about this book in the Bible that's called Lamentations, Laments. And where the book ends, it actually ends with a whole bunch of questions. To just sit with the questions and let those questions form my time. I've spent every single day in this room meeting God and giving thanks and grieving and laughing. Every emotion you can imagine right here in this room. And so today I thought it appropriate to gather at this table where I've scribbled out some papers and done computer work and drank coffee and taken phone calls to sit at this table in this room, the spare bedroom of ours, and to think about the three chapters of the book of Exodus that I want to talk about today, chapter 15, chapter 16, and chapter 17. So Exodus, chapter 15, 16, and 17. And I'll read portions of 17, but I just want to tell the story, the desert story, this now what series that we're in. We're 40 years of wandering in the wilderness where God's desire, as I said 2 weeks ago, wasn't so much their destination as it was their formation. He wasn't so concerned with where their feet went, but where he was able to get at their heart and do that good work. And so in chapter 15, we find that in this journey in the wilderness, there was a 3-day period where the Israelites were without water. Can you imagine? I mean, to be without water for a day is enough to just parch your thirst to the point where it can create a headache. I've had these lack of hydration headaches, that dehydration headache. And I don't know if they were experiencing that, all of them physically. Surely some of them are experiencing that, or the aches that come with the body when you're not drinking fluids. But for 3 days, they haven't had water, and they begin to do what people do. They begin to grumble. And they complain. And what happens, if you notice the anatomy of grumbling, is it usually goes sideways to the people around us. We begin to complain to them, and then it finds an object, somebody that you could blame for it, or say, this is the cause, this is the reason that I'm so miserable right now. And they found an object, and he had a name, and his name was Moses. The object of their grumbling. We are thirsty. You're our leader. You led us out of a place where we had water. Now what? And Moses takes all of that. And I mean all of it. He's thirsty too, right? He's gathered there too with them. He's been without water for 3 days too. But he's not grumbling. He's not looking to blame anybody. He instead takes all of their grumbling, the feelings that he has, the thirst that he has, and he sits with it. With all of his thoughts. And then he does something different. Their direction is this way and that. His direction is this way. He goes vertical with it. And he prays, Lord, we found our way for 3 days in this wilderness, and we found our ways to the water of Marah, and we went to drink from this water, the well there, and it was bitter. I mean, it's like a scene right out of Toy Story, right? Who poisoned the water hole? And so they're in this place where the water is, and it's not funny for them. They're without water. And God said, grab a stick, throw the stick into the water, stir up these waters, and they became sweet to drink. Chapter 16. Same story, different detail, same people. They're grumbling again. This time it's over food. They don't have food for their stomachs, and so they're grumbling, saying, we had food back in Egypt. Our pots were full of food to eat, and now our kids are starving. We are starving. Yeah, they have reason to be upset. And yet what they do with it is they go this way with the grumbling, and that way they found the same object again, and they blame Moses again. And what does Moses do with it? Two, same as them, he's hungry, he's been without food, and so he sits down with this story, this grumbling that they have, his own hunger, his own feelings, everything that's going on inside of him. And instead of going sideways with it and pointing someone at someone to blame, he goes vertical with it, and he cries out to God, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm experiencing. Here's what's going on in our nation. Lord God. And the Lord rains down manna on them, the sweet kind of honey-like bread stuff, and then also poultry so much that they got sick of it. I can get why. I really can. 40 years of manna and quail, and that's it. 40 years of bird and bread. We can handle like a day, 3 days maybe of that, Thanksgiving time. Put the turkey on, can't wait for the turkey, and then, yeah, I'll eat it for lunch. Let's eat at 1 or 2, and then we'll eat again at 6 or 7, see if we can get a little bit more. And the next day we go, what should we have for lunch? Well, we got all this turkey for lunch and dinner the next day. The third day we go, okay, one more day, let's stuff in the last of this turkey. And then you go, I don't want turkey again, like for a year. Christmas comes, you're like, time out, no way. Give us a ham, anything, but not turkey, right? And turkey comes back around the next year, and we can't wait to eat it until we've had it for 3 days. 40 years of this. Chapter 17. The whole Israelite community, This is verse 1. Set up for the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Again, the water. So they quarreled. Again, the quarreling. Again, the grumbling sideways. And then they find an object. They quarreled against Moses and said, give us water to drink. Now they've gone on the offensive here. Give us water to drink. Moses is like, why are you complaining against me? Like, I got some power to do that. Why are you grumbling with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? The one who made the bitter water sweet, the one who gave us bread, the one who is always taking care of us and gave us meat to eat. Why are you grumbling? Why me? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. And they said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst? Oh yeah, they're angry enough that look at what Moses does. I can't even read that angry enough. Moses takes all of this. He's thirsty too, again. He's been hungry too with them. He's been thirsty before with them. And he takes all of what he's feeling, including all of their grumbling, all of the weight of him being the object of their grumbling. And he sits with it. He doesn't go this way. He doesn't make the people around him miserable. Instead, what he does is he goes this way with it. And he says, Lord, what am I to do with these people that you've called me to lead? They are almost ready to stone me. They are on the verge of killing me, Lord. And he just brings all that raw emotion to God. And the Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go, and I will stand before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out from it, and the people will drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? This thing called lament, it's the difference between feeling something, experiencing something, having it deeply. The Israelites felt deeply over water, food, water. So did Moses. Water, food, water. But they went this way with it and quarreled. They went that way with it and found an object to blame. And Moses went this way. First internal, and he sat with his feelings. And then he exercised this thing called lament, and he cried out to God. He went the right direction with it. It's about an issue of direction and being honest with God. I've been exercising that muscle in this room, exercising this ability to just sit with pain, to sit with your grieving, to sit with the things that you are losing or feel lost over, and to just sit with them. And then to get honest with God. I think an honest with God human being certainly is the psalmist. Psalm chapter 13, in fact 22, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? But here in chapter 13, we hear this honest cry. How long, O Lord, will you forgive me forever? I mean, what's he feeling there? Lord, I feel like I'm all alone. Lord, I feel like you're not attentive to my ear. Or to the cry of my voice, your ear is not bent toward me. How long, he says, will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with these thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes and I will not have to sleep in death. And my enemy will not say, have I overcome him? And my foes rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing for the Lord's praise, and for he has been good to me. I love where he ends. He takes all this raw emotion that he's feeling and brings it to God, but then he turns here
And he says, I will trust. He appeals to what he knows to be true. I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. And I will sing your praise even when I don't feel like I have a song in my heart. I will find it and I will sing your praise because you have been good to me. I want to invite us to begin to exercise the skill of sitting in your pain, sitting with your feelings, getting raw and real and just resting there. And then going to the right place with it. Not this way. Not grumbling and complaining. Oh, we're all gifted at that. We can all do that. And not finding someone to blame for your pain. That's not hard. But just being real with God and turning to Him with all that you are. You don't have to hide anything. And to say, God, my relationship with you, it matters, and here is what I'm feeling, and cry out to Him. And end with these sorts of thoughts. I trust you. You're so good. Your love is unfailing. I trust you. And my heart, it rejoices that you're the God of my salvation. And I will sing praises to your name, even when I don't feel like it, because of who you are. And you've always been good to me. Amen.